praiseworthy and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shalom!
Shalom!
That's the Hebrew and Aramaic word for peace. Arabic, Salam Aleichem, may peace be upon you. And in Hebrew, it's Shalom Aleichem, may peace be upon you. Now, both Arabic and Hebrew are Semitic languages. In fact, they're related languages. When I was at the seminary, we had a Marine who had been a translator for the government. Well, that was the service, and his language was Arabic. So it was interesting when we were in Hebrew classes, the prophet said, how would you say that in Arabic? And it is so close. You know, we talk about, you know, those two people are related. Yes, they are related. But most of the New Testament was originally written in Aramaic, which is the language of the day. This is based on Hebrew. Even by this time, when Jesus was living, Hebrew was a dead language. The only place you heard it was in church. Like if you're a Roman Catholic, you grew up with Latin in the church. That's the only place you heard Latin. So Hebrew was the same thing. It wasn't something that was spoken. But we know St. Luke wrote in Greek because his gospel and Acts the Apostle were originally written in Greek. So we have a Bible that was really written in two languages, Aramaic, which is a form of Hebrew, and in Greek. But whether it's Greek or Aramaic or Hebrew, the meanings of this time period were the same. Well, so what are we saying when we wish someone peace? Peace is mentioned 329 times in the Bible. 30 times in the book of Isaiah alone. You know, I've always said, if the Bible says it more than once, it's probably important, isn't it? Well, 329 times means it's pretty important. But if we have 30 times in Isaiah, what is the book of Isaiah about? Well, it's the prophecy of Jesus Christ. So when we're looking at the coming Jesus, we're looking at peace. Well, peace is mentioned 91 times in the New Testament. Now, the word shalom itself has two parts. But we're going to look mostly for the first part today, which is shalom. In Hebrew, it means to be complete, sound, or whole. So biblical peace has got a little different meaning, doesn't it? If I ask you what peace means, how many of you would say complete, sound, or whole? None of us. Well, so Jesus and peace go hand in hand then, don't they? We are complete, sound, and whole in Christ. We usually see peace in Jesus mentioned. You know, it comes to mind, and may the peace of the Lord be with you all. Right? You do that in church. Or in Philippians 4, the peace which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's what a pastor, Luther pastor, says at the end of every sermon. Peace which passes all understanding. So what is this kind of peace, and why can't we understand it? A couple good questions there. So, how does that peace relate to being complete, sound, or whole? Well, let's look at both meanings in both an English and then a biblical dictionary. All right, so Oxford Dictionary. First of all, it means freedom from disturbance, tranquility. Now, that one I can see, okay? That example here, you could while away an hour or two in peace and seclusion. So, the words that relate to it are tranquility, calm, calmness, restfulness, peace, and quiet. Those I can see, right? If we were talking about peace, that's what we mean when we say it. And then it's a state of period in which there is no war or a war has ended. And that also leads us to law and order, lawfulness, order, and peace. Now, they had, I thought this was interesting, this is in the Oxford Dictionary, a ceremonial handshake or kiss exchanged during a service in some churches, now usually only in the Eucharist. symbolizing Christian love and unity. You know, one of the things we talk about, the kiss of peace. Even Luther, after they had their final meeting after the Smalcald War, had been working with Calvin about the meeting of the Lord's Supper. And he said, I do feel that if we had more time to talk, we could come together with the kiss of peace. So that's not something that was just the ancient time. That's always been a part of the church. Well, that's the word of the peace that we would use. Let's look at the biblical. All right, so if it's complete, sound, or whole, it's dealing with wholeness of life or wholeness of body. So it's a right relationship or harmony between two parties or people. Well, now that one's related to the other meaning. Prosperity, success, or fulfillment. But that's what it means in the Bible. Victory over one's enemies or absence of war, that one I could see. It's used in both greetings and farewells in a form of blessing on the one to whom it was spoken. Now, that's not just in Hebrew, shalom, shalom aleichem. 2 Thessalonians 3, now may, actually it's 3:16, I already get a kick out. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always and every way. The Lord be with you all. That's biblical peace. And that's the way it's structured. You actually hear it. Yes. All right. So let's look at this in a little bit more detail. As I was going through this, I had a Bible verse talking. And usually that's the Holy Spirit taking a 2x4 and hitting me in the head. So I want you to listen. You have all things in him to whom God would make known what is the riches of glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's from Colossians 1. So, I really believe that essence of Christianity, the glory and hope and joy of all that Jesus came to you, is Christ in you. So he instills that complete wholeness in you. Christ is in you in everything. Now, Christ is us in everything, not in us. Christ is us in everything. Aren't we supposed to emulate Christ? So is Christ us? Yeah, in some respect, he is. So glory, joy, hope, and peace, and love are in us all. Peace, hope, what's that one? Joy. Yeah, peace is supposed to be up here today, isn't that? Love. The four Sundays of Advent, which is what that represents. The Advent wreath. I don't know about you, but as a Christian, I think that whole idea of glory, joy, hope, are important things to sing. And that comes to it. Remember, Luther said, if we're forgiven and we don't forgive others, we're not forgiven. We have to be a conduit for the Holy Spirit to go through us on the other. And if that Holy Spirit is going to take our glory, joy, hope, and peace and spread it, Lord, what a wonderful world we would be. So what else does Scripture have to say about that? Well, being in Christ Jesus, I think, is a stupendous reality. It's breathtaking to be united to Christ, bound to Christ, complete in Christ, and whole in Christ. Folks, that's that word shalom in practice. You know, David is always talking about, what does it mean to me today? Right?
Yes.
Yeah. What does the Lord mean? That means we are complete, we are whole, and we share that with others. So as Christians, we are with Christ, and Christ is in us. And I got to thinking, so if we're in Christ, what does it really mean? Well, I started going through Scripture because I've always found that if I study Scripture, there's answers in the Scripture itself. You don't need me to interpret. First one, in Christ Jesus, you were given grace before the world was created. And that's in 2 Timothy 1:9. He gave us grace in Christ Jesus before the ages began. That grace was always with us. Didn't He select us before the creation of the world? So that grace has always been there. We are given grace through the completeness of Jesus working in us. We are complete with Jesus. We are complete with His grace. Alright, well, I got ahead of myself. In Christ Jesus, you were chosen by God before creation. Ephesians 1. God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Remember, we're whole and complete in the peace of the Lord. Whole and complete in the peace, the shalom of the Lord. Because He chose us. Did we choose Him? We as Lutherans don't believe in decision theology. And the way I had a pastor explain this to me was that the arrows come from Christ to us. If we have arrows going from us to Christ, are we saying He's in control or we're? We're. It's not Christ is in control. Now the thing is, there is a little bit of decision in there because we have to decide if we want to follow Christ. We have to open our heart. But it's His work, not ours. In Christ Jesus, you are loved by God with an inseparable love. Romans 8. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Boy, really not too much left to say, is it? So living in the love of the Lord brings us peace. And here we are. May the peace which passes all understanding. So, can we really understand the depth of Jesus' love for us? You know, we go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son to die for us. We know Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. What does He ask in the Garden of Gethsemane? Let this cup pass from me. That's His human side. His human side didn't want to go to the cross. Divine side has to go to the cross. So God so loved the world that if anyone is willing to die for our welfare, His love has no end. Next one. In Christ Jesus, you were redeemed and forgiven for all your sins. Ephesians 1. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. You know, one of the things that we talk about, justification. Justification is the real fancy word for forgiveness of sins. In the cross, there is forgiveness of sin. Right? Okay? Jesus paid the bill. Remember, redeem means to ransom. And to ransom means somebody has to pay a bill. I always go back to S&H Green standards. Okay? Because what did you do with them? You redeemed them, right? You got something for it. Well, what did we get when Jesus redeemed the cross? Forgiveness of sin. Make sense? Okay. Living in the love of the Lord brings us peace. Let's go down here. We know that on our own we are lost. I cannot by my own reason this thing. Know my Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, user's explanation, third article 3. but it's true. You can't do it on your own. Today is called the Sunday of Angels. Wow. Why would we have this Sunday of Angels? Because the angels went to Joseph and explained what happened. And Joseph believed. So, when the angel visits us, they tell us the truth. So today, Green Candle is the candle of the angels. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses. Alright, in Christ Jesus, you are justified before God, and the righteousness of God of Christ is imputed to you. 2 Corinthians 5. What is imputed? Given strongly. Alright, when something is forced into you, it's imputed. So, the righteousness of God is forced into us by Christ. We receive it from Him, don't we? We receive it from the cross. For our sake, God made Christ to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And that's where we go back to justification. In Christ Jesus, you have become a new creation and a son of God. 2 Corinthians 5. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. That's Galatians 3:26. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. You know, as I said, when I go through this, you know, the scripture will explain it. You know how I got this? I did a search in my Bible software about, you know, what do we get? These came up this way in order. I find sometimes that's the Holy Spirit working through the people. You know, in closing, I'd like to leave you with a statement Jesus said at the end of his time on the cross. We know from that that the words are, it is finished, right? German Bible. It's not, it is finished. In German, it is, es ist genug. Now, Luther translated, what is genug? It is enough. It's not finished. There it is, because now we start in our new creation. Makes sense, doesn't it? You know, theologically, that is really deep. It was enough when He went to the cross. It was enough He gave His life for us, and it was enough that He brought us the peace of the Lord. And the peace, love, hope, and joy of Advent into our lives. And my friends, may this hope, love, joy, and peace of our Lord keep our hearts and minds.